Good morning. Welcome to Skyline. It's great to see everybody this morning. We are talking about enjoying God. And as we've jumped into this, we've kind of asked this question, is that even possible? Is that a thing that people do? How do you do that? Before we go any further, though, I want to talk to you about something I think we're all going to enjoy. Every year, we have kind of a reunion at Skyline, one week of the year where we ask everybody to come back and show up live in one place. We call it Spirit Day, and that's going to be on September 10th. And so I encourage you, make a plan to be with us. We're going to jump into a series called What's Next. And Skyline's been through a lot of things over the last little while, as you have, we have together. And I think we're ready to land a little bit and take off. And so we're going to talk about where we're going to go. So would you please plan to be there? Invite people to come with you, be a part of it with you. Plan to bring a lawn chair. And one of the things I'm most excited about is we got this really cool orange t-shirt this year. Go on to the app, check that out, get it purchased ahead of time so that you're ready to be a part of it and we can all wear that same shirt together so we can enjoy that day. And we also are going to continue to talking about how do we enjoy God. And so last week we jumped into a little bit about what's the obstacle? What keeps you from enjoying God? And we discovered that we all tend to think we need to be everything and do everything for others primarily, but also even for ourselves. And we discovered this amazing truth. No, the opposite's true. Jesus did not do that, but instead decided, hey, there was two major things he would not fail at. He looked like a failure. It might have felt like to others he was a failure, but no. He said, listen, I know two things I will not fail at. One, I am going to spend time in the presence of my Father. And two, whatever my Father says, that's what I say. How did your week go this week with your homework? Did you get a chance to just enjoy being with God? This series has been, it's been big for me. It's been really good for me. But today, we have another question. The Bible talks about delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of his heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. So we've been working on that, right? How do I delight myself in the Lord? Is that even possible? And as we jumped into it, as we discovered that, yeah, it is possible, the biggest question for us was this. What if my greatest delight is actually available to me at all times? What if it's always there? What if it's always in front of me, but because I never learned how to delight, I ran right past it? That's what we've been working through. So the question for today is this. Does God delight in you? Is it possible that God delights in you? Matter of fact, how does that statement hit you? Like, for many of us, it just blows us away. You're like, no. Okay, I understand. Maybe the Bible says that God, we can delight in God, but you don't know me. You don't know who I am. How could it be that God could delight in me? You see, you can't learn to enjoy something you don't experience. And so although we're teaching you things from the Bible, these are not things that just go into your head and stay there. These are things we got to practice. These are things we have to be able to live out, work out in our day-to-day lives. We don't enjoy anything we don't experience. We have to go into it, jump into it. So with that, what if God doesn't enjoy me? Or the flip side, what if God does enjoy you? I know the world you live in. You live in the same world I live in. This message, I love it. I love this message because I struggle with it so much. See, I know who I am. And you know who you are. And we know the facade we live. We know we live in a world that, listen, as long as you produce what the other person wants you to produce, they enjoy you. And even for a while, they would say, hey, okay, I can keep enjoying you while you're not producing, but it only goes so long. And all of us live behind this facade. And we really do believe this. We really believe if God were ever to see us truly who we are, there's no way he enjoys us. As a matter of fact, for many of you, you know that God can see beside the facade. So that's why you're for sure, there's no way that God could enjoy me. Well, let's jump in to what the Bible has to say and see what we find out. We're going to go back to creation. And in creation, he works through the 6 days, and each day he said, and I created this, and the end of the day he goes, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. Then he creates humanity. He creates us. He creates Adam, the beginning of us. And this is what it says. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Not just good, very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and it was the sixth day. So there's a big difference between good and very good. For many of you, you know I come from Michigan. But all of us, we all come from West New Jersey. And if you've ever been to West Jersey, it's good. There's some nice things to do there. You can tube in the rivers. It's nice. But oftentimes I joke with people, yeah, but if you ever saw Michigan, and sure enough, almost always, when somebody comes in the summer and they go and they visit Michigan, they're like, wow, that's good. It really is good. Yeah, I told you, it's good. Then last year, I got to go to Colorado. And when I went to Colorado, I was like, wow, those mountains and the trees. And wow, it was beautiful. It was incredible. Almost to the point of very good, but it was good. And this year, I went to Switzerland. Switzerland is very good. Honestly, it doesn't compare. The beauty of that place doesn't compare. And the fact that there's cold water just flowing out of the mountains, it's pretty amazing stuff. There's a difference between good and very good. And did you know that in Psalms it says this, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. You know who he's talking about here? He takes pleasure. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about the nation of Israel. And you go, yeah, God takes pleasure. We naturally think God takes pleasure in good people, but I'm messed up, dude. Look behind my facade. Well, this is talking about the nation of Israel. They were not okay. If you've read the Old Testament, you realize, wow. And yet God says he takes pleasure in his people. In 2 Samuel 22, it says, he brought me, this is David, he brought me out of a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. This is God delighting in someone. He says it again. He repeats it. He says it twice. In Psalm 18, he says, you brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Now, there's a couple of people in the Old Testament that seem to have grabbed this idea. Abraham, Moses. Moses loved being with God. He didn't like God's people so much, but he loved being with God. He'd be like, hey, just let me spend time with you. Don't send me back there. But he loved that. And David, who wrote this psalm, somehow he understood what it meant that God delighted in him. You know what's true about David? He was an adulterer and a murderer. Wait, what? Yeah, you see, there's something going on here. There's something going on with this facade. There's something going on with this idea that God only delights in people because they have it all together, because they took down their facade and they were amazing behind it. There's something going on here. You see, Jesus, when he gives his life, why did he give his life? Why did he give his life? What was that about? He gives his life to make it possible for him to always be with you. Wait a minute. The whole idea behind Christ giving his life for you is because he wanted to be with you, because he delights in you. In John 14, it says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. You know him. Listen to this. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Uh-oh. Goes right back to what we said before about us being able to delight in him, and he's always with us and he'll never leave us. Well, guess what? He's always with us. Did you know that Jesus, okay, so he dies to save you, make you new, invite you into his family, sends us on a mission. That's why we're still here on earth. We're on the mission to be able to reach other people and love other people. Did you know that he has created a way that he can be with us the entire time this happens? The entire time. It's his Spirit. Did you know he said, it's better? Oftentimes we'd say, I wish Jesus was here. No, Jesus says this is better because if I was here physically, I can't be with you everywhere all the time. But this way, he can. He also welcomes you into his presence. He welcomes you into his presence. Now, I'm sure you have people that you don't really enjoy being with. Do you invite them into your presence? Have you ever been on a road trip? Have you ever planned a road trip? And you got three of you buddies. We're all going to go on a road trip. And the third buddy goes, hey, yeah, and let's invite JoJo. And you're like, oh, no, I can't be in his presence for that long. Listen to this in Hebrews. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Now, this is talking about Jesus becoming our priest, and he's talking about the Old Testament and being able to get into the Holy of Holies. Now, in the Old Testament, only one person, one time a year, could go in the Holy of Holies. But Jesus is inviting us to be in his presence all the time. By the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Do you hear that? He's going, like, come be close to me. I want you in my presence. In full assurance of faith that our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure word. And he also will dwell with us forever. Now, the next passage is from Revelation. Revelation is when the big win happens. It's when Jesus, when all of what he's done comes to a culmination and it's time to celebrate. All right, this is what's most important. Let's be together. What's he talk about? He says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. The first thing he talks about, what he says is great, is that guess what? We're going to be together. We're going to be in his presence. He will dwell with them and they will be with his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. There shall be no more mourning or crying or pain or any more or former things that have passed away. Now, when we interact with that passage, we interact with heaven, we look forward to no pain, no suffering, streets of gold. What's Jesus look forward to? We're going to be in his presence. We're going to be together. He delights. He loves to be with you. Sometimes we say around here that whenever he sees you, he just tickled pink. I oftentimes like to do this with Lori. We don't get that many often, not that often that gets to happen, but we'll be in places where either I get there first and she doesn't know that I'm there, I get to watch and watch, and I'm watching this crowd of people. And then I'll catch a glimpse of her. And wow, the delight that just floods over us. Jesus delights in you that way. That's what he looks forward to when he wins. Winning for him is for us to be, for him to be able to delight in us. Now, there's a big question you're asking. It's the right question. It is the facade question. How in the world could God ever delight in me? I don't even like what's behind the facade. How in the world could God ever truly know me, see me, and delight in me? I know the sin I've committed. I know what he hates. I know what I've done. I know what I did last night. I know what I did this week. I know this week I set out to enjoy him, and over and over and over again, I chose something else. How could he possibly enjoy me? Listen to how he describes those whose judgment he's taken away. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, in your midst, you shall never again fear evil. Oh, that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, presence. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Whoa. Let that grab a hold of you. God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit rejoicing over you. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. You see, when Christ died on the cross, all of the judgment went upon him. And he won. He destroyed the judgment. He paid the penalty in full. There is no longer any judgment. That's what the gospel's all about. Now, again, right? What if we're missing the whole thing? What if in following Christ, we are so focused on being pleasing to God that we have missed we're so focused on trying to become acceptable to God, we're so focused on trying to be the people we need to be. We're reading our Bibles and we're interacting with our Bibles and all we see are commands. And we're missing it. We're missing that he, because of what he has done, enjoys you. He sings over you. He rejoices over you. This is important. He doesn't delight in us because we're incredible. He does not look at you and go, I so delight in you because you are so amazing. Oh, you're so incredible. He doesn't look behind the facade and go, oh, whoa, you are so much better than I thought. No. He delights in you because he's incredible. And he loves us. It's grace. He delights in you out of grace. The very closest thing to it that I experience in this world is my grandson, Cale. My grandson, Cale, he can be anywhere. I can be anywhere. If he catches a glimpse of me out of the corner of his eye, he starts yelling, Papa, Papa! And I do this like this, and he runs into my arms, and he jumps, and he hugs me. It has nothing to do with what I've done for him. It doesn't mean, it's not because I qualify. He just delights in me. It's incredible. God delights in you because of who God is, not because of who you are. God delights in you because of what he's done in you, not because what you've produced or performed for him. It's amazing. And in our lives, I want to say it again, you won't delight in someone you don't enjoy. You won't delight in somebody you don't enjoy. It's almost impossible to delight in someone who doesn't enjoy you. I'm sure you experienced that in school, where you liked someone, and you wanted to pay attention to them, and you wanted them to pay attention to you, but they didn't enjoy you. That can only go on so long before you give up and be like, I'm going on. I'm moving to somebody else. Well, guess what? You don't need to move on to somebody else because God does delight in you. So the judgment part of the story is over. Listen to this next passage. And you were dead in your trespasses and who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all of our trespasses by canceling the record of the debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside by nailing it to the cross. What's that mean? It means that facade. Everything that you don't want God to see and you don't want other people to see, when Christ died on the cross, he nailed that to the cross. So we need to leave it at the cross. We need to leave it there. Many of us spend our entire relationship with Christ around our sin. We're just constantly sinning and asking confession and sinning. We think that's the whole relationship. Why? Because we've never realized he enjoys us. We've never realized, you know what? He nailed that thing to the tree. We can leave it there. We can walk away from it. We can go someplace else. We can go and enjoy God. So this is what I encourage you to do. One, stop making your sin the center of your relationship with God. And start making enjoyment the center of your relationship with God. Two, stop trying to earn your place. Stop trying to earn or keep that facade in place just right so you can be in his presence. You don't earn your place in his presence. It's by grace. It's a gift from him. Number three, stop treating God like you treat others. What do I mean? You treat God like he is judging you the way you judge others. You love other people based on their production towards you. Stop it. God doesn't act like you. He doesn't love like you. He doesn't enjoy like you. Number four, bask in the enjoyment. Oh man, this has been a great week for me. It's been a great week for me. Practicing what we talked about last week has been a great week for me preparing for this and being able to be able to sit and realize, oh my goodness, God right in this moment enjoys me. And number five, go in faith to the one who enjoys you. Now, this might seem impossible because it's a step of faith. It's not a step of feeling. You don't come to enjoy God, or you don't come to feel or sense the enjoyment of God because you change your feelings.
It doesn't happen through feelings. It happens through faith. Because your feelings have been lied to your entire life. Your logic is, listen, I know who I am. I know the facade. I know all of what I've done. I know that I can't stop doing some of this stuff. There's no way God enjoys me. It's a lie. Because you have that against God's word, God's promise, that no, he created you to enjoy you, and then he gave his life so he could be with you, and by grace, he does enjoy you. It's a faith journey. Faith is not what I feel. Faith is not even what I believe. Faith is acting on what God says is true. It's acting like God knows what he's talking about. It's acting like God's word is reality, not my feelings and not my perspective. That you can do. You can do that. You can start it this week. I think part of this whole picture is we kind of get the idea that God, he only loves clean things and he only loves to be around clean things and he only interacts with clean things. But that's not true. I think it's a little bit like when I was growing up. One of my favorite things to do in growing up, when I was growing up, was baling hay. Now, you need to know this about baling hay. Number one, you do it when it's hot. Number two, it's incredibly dirty and dusty. So when you're baling hay and you go up into the mound to put the hay away, there's dust and dirt all over everything. When you come out of that mound, you'll have brown all over you, dust all over you, except for the streaks of sweat because it's so hot. And baling hay is hard. You know, when I think about it, it doesn't really make any sense why I loved it. Why did I enjoy it so much? Because it was the time of year when I got to be with my Uncle Lyle and my Grandpa High and my Uncle Mert and sometimes my cousins. And we got to enjoy each other. Sure, there was a lot of mess going on. There was a lot of work going on. There was a lot of dirt involved in all of it. But guess what? That's what we loved. See, God sees all the dirt. He knows about all the dirt. He's paid for all the dirt. He is not afraid to jump right into the middle of this and do what? Enjoy you. This week, I got another homework for you. This is what I want you to do. This week, during the week, nighttime when you pray or morning when you pray, share two funny things that happened with you. Just share two funny things that happened to you this week. Why? Because God enjoys you. He loves spending time with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this is too good to be true. It's really at the core of what I want in my heart, deep down in my soul, and it's true for each person who's with us today. That's what they want too. But Lord, you know our life. And folks, you know your life. You know you spent your whole life either trying to fake it till you make it, trying to become acceptable and knowing at all costs you cannot reveal who you are, because if that person finds out who you truly are, there's no way they will accept you or enjoy you. And today we found out that's not true of you, Jesus. So Jesus, this is the commitment that we're going to make to you this week. Even though we don't feel it, even though we find it very hard to believe, we're going to act like it. Maybe it's going to be in small pictures, and maybe it's going to be for a couple of hours, or maybe it's just going to be in certain events, but we are going to, on purpose, bask in your enjoyment. We're going to act like you enjoy our presence. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.